1, 2, 3, 4.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen.
That's right, the big dick is here. Get ready.
May we start?
What's up, y'all? Welcome back to another Tasty Tuesdays talk. I am Zebra, and today on the show, I have Christopher Leon.
Yes, yes. What's good, Z?
What's going on? How are you doing today?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, man.
Of course. It finally worked out. You know, we are communicating for some time. And
schedule's finally aligned.
Thank you, universe.
Yeah, for real.
Yes. So let's get right into it and tell the people who Christopher Leon is.
Okay. My name is Christopher Leon. I am from the Midwest. I was born in St. Louis. And I've been living here in LA for almost 5 years now. Been doing music here. Just released an album that I've been kind of putting on my own tour for the past few months. And yeah, now I'm here with Z.
Well, you've been making music for some time, a few years.
Yeah, I have. I was making music probably about almost a decade now. But I really got serious once I moved here because I realized how serious everyone else was. And I was like, oh, I have to be.
So you wanted to come to LA to be a music artist.
Mostly, I just wanted like more opportunities like in life. Just because where I was at, it's too small and, it's not a good place to grow. So I just wanted to be here. And then once I moved here, I loved the culture, the people, I loved everything. I mean, except for the traffic. It's like, I just loved it here.
Did you ever visit here beforehand?
No, never. I moved here. The first time I came here was when I moved. And then I just fell in love because I started going to shows and I saw how hungry everyone else was. And it just made me more motivated and inspired to go.
So how did that all work out? Did you just, you called up a friend? Do you know anybody or just?
Yeah, so I moved here with two of my friends who had actually got signed. They got signed and they were going to be moving here and we were already living together and we were like super close at the time. So we were just like, hey, let's all do it. So we all came here and then I don't know exactly what happened with them, but everything kind of went to shit and it didn't work out how they wanted. And so I was kind of let me know that they were doing their own thing. So I was like, okay, well, I'm in LA. I don't know anybody. I need to get this popping myself. And so I just started going off. I went to every show I could, every event I could, talked to every person that I could, worked with every artist that I could. And years later, here I am still doing the same thing to be.
Well, I mean, 5 years is nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and like you're becoming almost the native.
It's, yeah,
have you heard that? It's like you
don't
have to
let the LA natives hear that because they'll grill me.
Well, they usually say like after 6-7 years, then you could consider it your home. But I mean, the turnover is high here, it's like the people moving here. But if you're here, you know, 5 years is it's good. And then
I definitely consider it home for sure, for sure. And I hope that everyone who is from here is cool with me saying that this is my home.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean,
and if not, get off my back. This is my home.
So you talked about you're from Illinois.
Yep.
And in your current album,
We're All Healing.
You discuss that quite a bit.
I do. Yes.
You want to give a little backstory of your upbringing and family and.
So I was born in St. Louis, Missouri, but at a very young age, my parents moved me to very small towns outside of it, Missouri and Illinois. And so I spent a lot of time in growing up in a town called Anna, Illinois. And Anna stood for, wait, we can cuss on this?
You can say whatever you want.
Okay, I just want to make sure. Anna stood for Ain't No Niggers Allowed. And so I lived there and, you know, having a black dad, I was the only person in school with a black dad. So I just felt that. And then just living in that kind of environment, atmosphere, it at times really sucked. And it just made me feel kind of like bad about myself just because of all the, you know, whenever you're a kid and you get bullied about certain things, then like some of that kind of sticks with you and you're like, oh, well, maybe I am the problem. Maybe, you know, this is who I am. So I was just a loner kid, kind of a sad kid. But I would try to be goofy because I wanted everyone to like me. And so I grew up wanting to get out of all the small towns. And then finally, whenever I was in college, I had the opportunity to. So I went away to college. It was my first time away from home. In my freshman year, that's when I started making music. And it was my first time making music. I started doing that while I was actually writing poems to a girl that I liked. And so she told me, she put me onto like Kid Cudi. So I would like listen to Kid Cudi songs and then find the instrumental and then like do my own version and send it to her. And that's actually how I got into music. And then I realized that whenever I was doing that, I just loved that feeling. And so I continued to do it. But going back to my childhood, just living with like just the racism, coming home and not feeling like entirely safe at home. I didn't feel like I could talk to my parents. I didn't feel like I was kind of afraid of my dad a little bit. He was
strict?
No, he wasn't. Whenever he got mad, he got mad. You know, and we had some issues with you know, like me getting hit a few times and things like that. And so I was just really withdrawn, and so I didn't feel comfortable like outside of the house. I didn't feel comfortable inside of the house. So I just felt like I didn't have anyone that I could like really talk to, you know? And I had like younger siblings, but I always felt like they didn't get it like as bad as me, you know? So I was always jealous of my younger siblings.
Are you the oldest?
Yeah. So there's three of us and then a little brother and a little sister. And yeah, so I mean, honestly, I was just kind of living like in my own head. That's just where I lived because that was like my only safe space.
And that was from like K to 12 pretty much?
Yeah, so ninth grade. So high school, we lived in the same town, but I went to a different high school. We lived in Illinois still, but I went to a high school in Missouri, and it was a Catholic school. We had the uniforms, the shaved face, a monk was our principal, like the whole deal. And
a monk?
A monk, yes.
At a Catholic school?
Yeah. And Brother David, shout out Brother David. And so
a monk?
Yeah. And so, went to school there. And then, I got a scholarship to go to college in Missouri as well. And it was like, I just went. I didn't know what I wanted to do, what I wanted to be, anything like that. I just knew I didn't want to be where I was.
You just want to get it out.
Exactly. So I went there. And then that's where I found my love of music because of this girl.
And your first love.
And me. Yeah, and my first love. And, and so trying to... So I remember, like, hearing myself recorded on a song for the first time and, like, literally that feeling of, like, oh, I made it. And I'm also, there was also a thing of, like, I was sharing my feelings. Because I don't talk to anybody. I don't tell my friends how I'm feeling, didn't tell my family how I was feeling, anything like that. So for the first time, I was able to, like, tell that on a song and it felt really good. And I fell in love
I
fell in love with that feeling. Yeah, and I think that's just kind of how I figured out my style of being super open and honest to a fault sometimes through my music, and that's where I am now.
Mm-hmm. And then in the Catholic school.
Mm-hmm.
So was that even any better or?
It was better because it was in a larger town. So, like, there were, like, black people.
Okay.
So it was...
You weren't being bullied or being called names.
No,
or,
I mean, I was bullied for other reasons, but it was just because I was, like, small.
It wasn't because your skin color.
A redhead and, you know, yeah. But then, like, you know, after school, I still went back home to the place, you know. So, but I really didn't like school. I did not like school. And I loved college, though.
Yeah.
Well,
that's what they say. You know, like high school, for me, high school was, it was fun. Like I did sports and stuff, but I didn't like going, you know, it was kind of boring to me. But like you said, like when you get to college, you know, you're with around a lot of different students and.
Seriously.
And usually more diverse and you're more, and you're free.
Yeah.
Free from your, you know.
Exactly. First time away from my parents. Yeah. First time, like, having to, all the responsibility was on me. And it was also, it was actually really great because, growing up, my only real experiences of being, like, around black people are when I'm with my dad's side of the family, you know? And so like hanging out with them. But whenever I went to college, my entire like dorm, like wing was, it was like 95% black. Mm-hmm. So for the first time I was in a totally completely was it, different, like,
was it culture shock?
No, it was, but it was like great because yeah, I mean, like it, like, I mean, black people are just so like welcome, you know? And so they, it was just nice. But then of course I also had like the, like some black people were like, well, you're not black enough, you know? So then, you know, but that's every mixed kid's like dilemma, you know, we're not, fully supported by either group, but, it's, but it was just nice. It was great. Yeah. So, go away to college. Anyone who's listening who hasn't been to college yet.
Yeah, I mean, college is good. You learn a lot and you learn about yourself and you should have fun. And
or don't go to college because college didn't do much for me besides that.
What was your major?
General studies, because I had no idea what I wanted to do.
What can you do with a general studies major?
You can drop out and make music, which is what I did.
So is that arts or?
No, I was taking like a civics class.
But what would it be like math? Bachelor of Arts?
I don't even, so I wasn't even, we didn't even have the arts like that. Oh. There was no music program or anything, mm-hmm. which is why I dropped out. Because once I realized I wanted to do music, I was like, oh, I am in debt up to my eyeballs mm-hmm. for like, and I have no idea what I'm ever going to use any of this for. So my second year, I dropped out.
Okay. You didn't finish then?
No. Yeah. 2 years, yeah.
Okay.
Dropped out.
So go to, your advice, go to college.
My advice is get out of your hometown, okay? Yeah. Actually, you don't need college. Yeah,
maybe.
Get out of your hometown.
That's hilarious. Do you have any the old recordings of your raps, poems?
For sure.
Would you ever listen to those back?
I mean, I would, but I would cringe the whole time. That would be rough. But it's just because, you know, you don't get... You don't have like a, you know, like a rap voice and stuff. Yeah. So I was just like, oh, you're so beautiful. You know, like, so, you know, and
so, she love it.
Yeah. Oh no, she did. Hey. I've grown a lot since then.
Well, you sing about women, you know, quite a bit.
Yeah.
I mean, in this last album, mm-hmm. I was kind of confused because you talked about being cheated on mm-hmm. and then you talked about your love that got away. Right. Mm-hmm. But were they different women, different women?
No, it's all everything. The last album, it's all about me, my relationship with my parents, with myself, and then with my ex. So everything is my ex. So whenever I say like she got away, it's because like I felt I pushed her away, kind mm-hmm. of a thing, you know. And so the whole album is just me kind of. Just verbalizing what's going through my mind of that whole situation.
Mm-hmm. So it's obviously from your upbringing and mm-hmm. from where you grew up, but also to present day, right? Mm-hmm. When was this relationship?
We broke up last October.
Okay. So, and then you decided to do the album We Are Healing shortly after that, or was it already in the works that you wanted to do something?
So the reason, okay. So I was like, I was in a deep dark like depression for a while, and I was trying to figure out ways to get through it. And of course, just because I'm so closed off and like I talk so little about like what's going on inside to like anyone around me, it was like killing me. And then one night I was writing to this beat, and I was thinking in my head. If I ever wrote a suicide note, what would it sound like? And that's when I wrote Shame, which is the second to last song on the album. It's like the climax. And it's like a letter to my sister, my parents, my ex, and then just me talking, you know, about myself. And as I was writing that, I was thinking if this was like my last thing that like I released, just this song, people would listen to that song and be like, yo, how did you get here? What is it? Like, how, like what? Because, you know, I'm on social media a lot. And I'm happy and I'm goofy and I'm making jokes and all that. And all my friends always know me as smiling and, you know, laughing and stuff. So for me to release something that incredibly dark would be like, yo, how? We've never seen this coming. So my goal with the album was to show people how I got to that place. Yeah.
And which was just successfully done.
That's what I did. Well, thank you.
I'm just, so that was the first song you wrote?
That was the song that made the album, That's when I wrote, was like, I need to make an album around this.
Yeah, I really like Shame because you break it up. You mm-hmm. start with your family mm-hmm. and then...
The first verse I'm talking,
to your sister. Your sister, yeah. Your family.
And then I talk to my parents and then the second one. And then my ex on the third verse. And then...
what I got out of it, and appreciate it, you share a lot of information yeah. in one song, yeah. which, you know, I'm sure it's very difficult to do, especially with someone that is not able to talk about their feelings for sure. to people and to let yourself in for a whole audience to hear it. I mean, it's something special, you know, and I'm sure you've got some good feedback.
Yeah.
I mean, have your parents listened to the album?
I flew to back there and I let them hear it before it came out.
Okay.
Yeah.
How'd that go?
They were in shock. But they, yes, I flew back to let them hear it before it came out. Just hoping that we could like talk about it. Because I do talk about like a very specific night in that verse, you know, it's a night that I,
tried to bring up. Your dad, right?
Yeah. It was a night that I tried to bring up like how I felt as a kid and things like that. And there was their reaction was very like, oh, it wasn't that bad. Like, you still feel that way. Like, it was one of those things where like, I'm finally opening up about exactly how I felt. And you're still like saying like, it's not that like chill kind of a thing. And it made me blow up. I blew up. Screaming at everybody. And the worst part of it was that was the first time that I took my girl with me home. So she was there and she witnessed all of it. So it was like...
Your current girl?
Well, my ex, yeah. Wait, what do you mean? No. Because this was like 2 years ago.
Oh, okay, right? Okay.
Yeah, so...
Oh, you're telling the story would have happened.
Yeah, my bad. No, I'm sorry. I'm explaining the thing I'm talking about in Shame, the night. But so that happened. Okay. And then it was like because of that night that my relationship with my ex kind of like snowballed out of control.
She wanted to get out of this crazy family.
Yeah, for real. And so, whenever I went back now to like play them the album, they listened to it. They were in shock. They didn't have much to say. But then they called me up like weeks later and they were like, hey, you know, thought about it a lot. We're really, you know, sorry that you felt this way and we made you feel this way. And we were able to talk about it after that. But the initial thing is just, it's shock because I said a lot. I said so many things, you know.
And never said anything or tried to talk about any of this with your, or nothing.
Yeah.
So it's you got to give them a little bit of time too.
For sure. Digest and figure out what they want to say. Mm-hmm. And also because, you know, they don't talk either, you know. So they, you know, they're just like me. I got it from somewhere. So, they needed time to figure out how to talk about it themselves.
And we're going to take a short break right now and play Shame off Christopher Leon's We're All Healing album.
I'm a king, I'm a god, I'm a fucking piece of shit. I got sins on my mind, but it's time that I admit. Only time I feel alive when I stare in the abyss. And I'm staring in the abyss. Yeah, this first verse is for my sister. Punkin', I miss ya. I'm out here doing shows in Cali, I hope you visit. I know when I first got here, you looked out for me. Gave me financial support and you never doubted me. And I love you for it. Got me a Mac, I couldn't afford it. You had my back, I'll never ignore it. You and Rob were part of the reason I survived. So understand that you'll always be part of my story. And I thank him too. I never felt like I belonged, so I made that move. I always felt I was alone, so alone is where I felt felt most comfortable. But that's an excuse, I should have been there for you. And I'm sorry for the night that I shouted at you and swore I was mad at mom and dad, you were a casualty of war. Ever since we were younger, I wasn't the best brother. But I promise before I'm gone, I'll even the score. I'm a king, I'm a god, I'm a fucking piece of shit. It may seem kinda odd that I come to you like this. Only time I feel alive when I stare in the abyss. And I'm staring in the abyss. This is for my mom and pop. I need to call you one more time before this album drop and warn you what I'm talking about. It was a little awkward last time I was in the house, but you need to know it's more than just me getting loud. I was such a scared child in that square town. I didn't know that I would get treated different. Old man at the restaurant calling me nigga. Then I gotta be scared to come home for some whippers. I was scared of you, Dad. I really was. Being bullied at school, then you, it was too much. So understand this talk was 20 years in the making. And I did my best to hold it in, but I ran out of patience. I had to say this, no more waiting. All is forgiven, no more anger. I love you. Told me I'd live to regret, and you were right. Because of how you taught me to react, I lost the love of my life. I'm a king, I'm a god, I'm a fucking piece of shit. When they see who you are, do you think they'll forgive? Only time I feel alive when I stare in the abyss. When I'm staring in the abyss. And this last verse is dedicated to the most beautiful girl. For my sunny day, you were my world. You will always be my greatest failure. Because I didn't open up enough to you to tell you that I had some unresolved issues with my parents. You saw me at my scariest. I was in my father's face about to fucking bury him. Heard my little brother crying, I know I was scaring him. I was scaring myself. I was really hurting and I should have asked for your help. But instead, I just screamed at you like the enemy, not my teammate. I'm sorry I was mean, babe, for what it's worth. I think about that each day. I wanna tell you that I'm sorry, girl. I know that I was wrong. I thought that it would all blow over and we would move on. But the pain, it got deeper and deeper. As the months moved on, I noticed you getting meaner. Yeah, love turned into a mess I couldn't clean up. Couldn't figure it out. Your love language wasn't Spanglish. I wanted to so hard but couldn't translate it. But ever since that night in my parents, you started changing. I was falling victim to my rage. So when you started cheating, I forgave. No matter what I did, it wasn't enough. So I told you that we should split up.
And then we did.
I wanna tell you how much that I missed you. I got so sad, I wanted to grab a fucking pistol and end it all, but instead I'll just be a better me. I know that I'm the reason you were running in the streets. God damn it, I'm a king, I'm a god, I'm a fucking piece of shit. If you think it's suicide, then you know just what this is. Only time I feel alive when I stare in the abyss. And I'm staring in the abyss. You can never hate me more than I hate myself. You can never hate me more than I hate myself. You can never hate me more than I hate myself. You can never hate me more than I hate myself. I'm a king, I'm a god, I'm a fucking piece of shit. I showed you all of my flaws, now do with them what you wish. If you thought that I was happy, then you never knew the kid. If you think it's suicide, then you're thinking just like Chris. You can never hate me more than I hate myself.
The hardest thing I've ever done was learn to forgive and let go. But I did learn to forgive my parents. They did their best. I forgave my past friends and loved ones who are no longer by my side. I made mistakes too. But the hardest part of all of this was learning to forgive myself. So take this as a cautionary tale. I pray that you make better decisions than I did. And please, be kind to one another. We're all healing from something.
You just listened to the song called Shame off Christopher Leon's We're All Healing. Now back to Tasty Tuesday's talk with Christopher Leon.
But once I played them that, I came back to actually release the album. And then I had I performed the album for the first time. And then my family actually flew here to watch it, which was amazing. But it's also it's all very intimidating because I feel like so many people know a lot about me, you know, and just all my friends and family, like I was just like a bleeding heart, you know, on this last album. Mm-hmm. So I just feel like very vulnerable and like intimidated by how much people know about me. But, you know, like that's what I wanted.
You wanted, yeah.
Yeah, but it was a challenge for myself because I'm sick of like not sharing, you know? So I did it on a global scale, you know, something that like anyone could listen to and hear about it.
You mentioned too that your friends wouldn't understand, you know, talk to them. I mean, I think a lot of us go, there's a lot of people going through stuff like this, and you try to talk to your, have a serious talk with your friends, and then you kind of find out they're not your real friends in a way, right?
Yeah.
Or they don't understand, or, you know, have to go on social media, you know?
Seriously.
But this was your way of just, it was the only way you could express yourself fully, right?
Mm-hmm. No, for sure. I felt like I mean,
you didn't know any other way, and this is you making art, and
this
is your way to express yourself.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Because I was so desperate that I went to a therapist for the first time.
Yeah. How was Joyce?
Joyce, yeah. So so Joyce is my friend. Shout out to Joyce.
I was going to ask you about that.
She was playing my real therapist, of course.
Joyce, great voice.
She did, right?
She's great. Sounds like I would want her as my therapist. So comforting.
She's great. So I went to therapy for the first time, and you know, there's always a stigma with like therapy, and I grew up with that too. I thought therapy was like for crazy people. You only go there for like the worst reasons. I didn't even know why you went to therapy. But I was just stuck, and I didn't know like what to do, and I needed someone to talk to. So I tried therapy, and then I told myself the very first time that I went, I was like, look, you need to like say everything that you can and just get it out there, and you're going to feel better. And I like, that was my only mission, was just to say all the worst stuff that I was feeling, just so that it was there, and just so I could like have told someone, you know? So I went there, and the first song on the album is called Trauma. And that's where I'm talking to my therapist. And that entire song was what I said to my therapist the very first time. I told her all about my childhood stuff, just how I was feeling.
You rapped it to her?
Yeah, exactly. I was rhyming and everything. And so I just, I just laid it all out there. Just because I had seen like so many movies of like people in therapy, and they like never say all the things. And I'd always watch the movie and be like, why don't you just say the thing, you know? And so I was like, don't be like that. Just say it. And so I did. And it helped, and it was great. And I was going to therapy for weeks, and I was loving it. But then COVID happened. I lost my job. I lost my insurance. So I lost my therapist. And then that's what happens at the end of Ali, the third track, when Joyce comes back. And she, and then once I lost my therapist, I was just like, oh, well, I have no one, you know?
Because it was the first time you actually could talk to someone.
Yeah.
Well, how was that first? You said you laid it all out in that first session. Mm-hmm. And it was, how did you feel?
Scary. Scary at first. But then once I did it, it was great, because I realized that whenever I kept coming back, every time I was saying something, my therapist, she was able to be like, oh, well, this kind of reminds me of, you remember whenever you told me this about your childhood, and now you see. And then it was like, she was like connecting things for me. And so in my mind, I was like,
because your mind's going so fast, right? Yeah. It's so many things.
Yeah. And I'm only thinking like in present time. I'm not thinking about what hurt me as a kid, and I'm still holding on to that. And like, so, so that's why it was like, that's why it was so great. And
was the therapist an inspiration for your album then, to put pieces together?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And honestly, I was just trying to tell like a true story that was like a consecutive story, you know, like start when I started, which was therapy, me for the first time sharing my feelings, and then go from there. That's kind of how it was. It was like the past year of my life, like how I got to as bad a place as I had gotten to. Whenever I was writing, I was just thinking of it as like a get it all out there. Say everything you can, because it will make you feel better. And then whenever your friends and your family listen to this, then from now on, if something happens, they'll be like, oh, this reminds me of that time. And so this is where, so it was just an excuse
you're
for
like,
me to
you're
be
having
able
a
to
tantrum.
Like, for real, this is seriously. Yeah.
But I'm wondering, so you said you were in a dark, deep, dark place, but I mean, obviously was it just all built up over time? Because.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, were you depressed? Like maybe after college, before college, or like, was it just in ebbs and flows?
I get you. No, I was...
How did you get to, you know, you said, to a point, because you were talking about wanting to end your life.
Yeah. As a kid, I was very, like, private behind closed doors, like, cry a bunch, you know, just be sad. As I was growing up, I mean, I've always been like that. I mean, throughout my entire life, it's like, you know, smile and be goofy for people because I want everyone to like me, and then go through my stuff on my own behind mm-hmm. closed doors. And that's how I am, like, with everything. So what I realized with my past relationship was, even though it was, like, horrible, we were public as well. So we were taking pictures and videos and smiling and cheese all the time, you know, and everything. And then, but then once the camera was off, it was just back to being a disaster. And I realized that, like, literally everything in my life, I keep all the problems a secret. And I just got sick of doing that, because felt like I was living, like, a fake life. And it just made me feel, like, even more alone, because no one would check up on me because everyone thought that I was good because all I do is smile, you know? So it's just another excuse for me to get my stuff out there, you know?
Well, but it carried on over to when you even moved to L.A.
Yeah. That's because, I mean, whenever I moved to L.A., I moved with two very close friends. Like, one of them was, like, my best friend for, like, 6 years. And I remember before we moved, I was kind of going through it. And he even told me, he was like, you're, like, my saddest friend that I know. And he was like, but I'm, like, signed and I'm focused on that. So, like, I can't help you. Hmm. And I remember, like, he said, I can't help you. And so, like, in my mind, I was like, well, okay. Whenever we moved here and then, you know, everything with us fell apart, I was alone, but it's like, well, perfect. I'm alone. This is exactly how I like it, because now I don't have to worry about anybody else. It's always been, for some reason, I just always want to be, I hate being alone, but I always want to be alone, you know, it's one of those things. Even now, like, my mood swings are, like, crazy. They go up and down all the time. If, like, I'm having a bad day, then it just turns into a really bad day. I'm doing better now that I know how I am, that I can, like, control it more and more. It's still a struggle all the time. Mm. Yeah.
But you never really explained to how you got to that dark, dark place.
Yeah, I get you. It's so, I didn't talk to my family for damn near a year after I blew up back then.
Basically, it was just being alone.
Yeah.
Or just caught up finally, because you like being alone.
Yeah, but I don't. But I do. But I don't. It's like a weird.
No, I understand. I love being alone, yeah. But I like being around people.
Yeah.
But I have most fun by myself sometimes. Yeah, I see.
I wasn't talking to my family. Had broken up with my ex. And we were doing the thing where after you break up, you're still trying to, like, talk and everything, mm-hmm. but it was terrible. And
F buddies.
Yeah. And then I had, friends, like I had a really close friend, and him and I were, like, really, like, going at it, like trying to make something with each other, you know, like musically. And then, but whenever I was going through what I was going through, he wasn't exactly, like, seeing it. And we started butting heads. And then in the end of it, I was like, dude, I'm going to explode if we don't take some time apart. So we just had to, like, take some time apart. And then I'm just alone again, you know, mm-hmm. no friends, no girl, no family, you know? And so I'm just, spending all my days drinking myself to sleep and smoking all the time and just thinking about all the regrets of my life, you know? And then you do that for long enough and you start to believe all the bad
things.
You
believe it, and depression is self-induced.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and it's, the deeper you go, the harder it's going to get out.
Absolutely.
Right? Your drinking starts not at 6, it starts at 4, then 12, and COVID, people were drinking at right when they got up, you know?
Exactly, yeah, because there was nothing else to do.
So and also this was going on during mm-hmm. pandemic, so mm-hmm. that had to be a huge impact on it as well.
For sure. That's what tore my ex and I apart, because we, uh, we were finally like stuck in a room with each other all the time, you know? And like before, like I had work, so I'd be gone for 10 hours and then I'd come back, you know, but I always had like an escape. But now there's no escape. We're just here, you know? And we realized we didn't like each other as much as we thought we did. And
it's kind of in a way a blessing because a lot of relationships didn't work and people have babies and some did and some didn't. True. And I guess, I mean, it's just hard to be around someone 24/7 as is, right?
Very true. Very true.
We all need our breaks from, you know, our partners, loved ones, whatever.
And I think an unfortunate thing about this album is while I was making it, I thought it would help, but like it wasn't helping at all because all I was doing is, the whole thing, I'm like reminiscing on regrets and things like that and talking about me fighting my brain and everything. And at the end of Shame, that like I'm literally yelling, like, I hate myself, you know? Yeah. And so I like wrote that, you know, produced it, I engineered it, I did all that. So I'm like listening to this 100 times, like over and over and over again. And so I'm saying all these like terrible things to myself and I'm hearing it over and over and over again. And so you just start to believe it. So that the album was like brought me down just as much as everything else. You know, it didn't help as much as I thought it would.
So how would you say you are now today?
Now it's much better. Now that it's done, it's much better.
But how are you mentally?
I mean, better, but it's still, I'm still.
We're all dealing with some trauma.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the thing is, like, even though I spoke about this and I do feel better about it, like, all this was last year, you know, like, the album dropped in December. So it's like, it's still very new, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm still handling it. I'm better at handling it, but it's still a struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You were mentioning when you're screaming. I like that. I like how on the album, and you mention Eminem.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the resemblance I got from it because you go into these characters, how kind of Slim Shady did and like Marshall Mathers and whatnot. I like how when, you know, you're one just chill and the next time you're like screaming at, it's almost different characters are in the songs.
Yeah. And that's kind of my bipolar ass mood too. Like I'll just be chilling and then one thing sets me off and now we're not chilling anymore.
Yeah, you know? And it adds a lot to the song.
Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely does.
You know, while you're thinking about that, I do want to say one thing about Eminem. A lot of people ask why Eminem is one of my inspirations. And I remember whenever I was a kid and on the radio, there was a song called Cleaning Out My Closet by Eminem. It's like, I'm sorry, mama, I never meant to hurt you.
Yeah, yeah. I remember
that. I never meant to make you cry, but tonight I'm cleaning out my closet. I remember listening to that. And listening to how he was like going off on his family, like on his mom and stuff, you know, and this was on the radio. And I remember being like, damn, I wish I could do that. Like, get like, just like talk at like, say what I wanted to say, you know, to like to my parents, but not feeling like I could. And so I really resonated with Eminem, like in that, like in the way that he was doing it. And I think that that was such an inspiration for my album and how I did it just because
I think
of that.
You're it's comparable to that, but on more of a PG level. You know, he gets,
well, I wasn't talking about like
killing
like
his
murdering husband, my mom or anything, having the freedom of like being able to say what you really thought, you know? Cause even me, like I say, like I was scared of my dad, you know, like I was scared of you, dad. Mm-hmm. And so, just like even things like that, it stems from just the honesty of that song that I heard whenever I was a kid and wishing that I could like say things like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You talk about God quite a bit.
Yep.
Your relationship with God and how's that going? Because you talk about songs where you don't believe in them and then you talk about like Maker, how you end it, you know, you hope God's your maker, but then you're like, I grew up in church, but I felt like you're not there.
I mean, God is a crazy subject. I don't even know if there is a God, to be honest. It's one of those things where like, I hope there is, but that's just because I'm afraid of death and not existing anymore. And I just hope that there's an afterlife and I get to live forever.
It's a fair answer.
And and it's also like, you know, I mean, like it's nice to think that there's something that has a plan for you, you know? And that's what everyone says. God has a plan for everyone. But it's like, does God have a plan for everyone? And so I just feel like I really don't know. I really don't know. I'm open-minded to there being a God. I hope there's a God. I was raised in a church, went to a Catholic, you know, high school. Like, I do believe in God, but I also, if there wasn't a God, it would make sense. You know, it's like I'm—
But you hope—
I literally don't. I literally don't know.
No, who does know?
And it, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, I'm in my lowest, if you have no one, you're just going to be like, hey, a person in the sky watching me.
Isn't that what they teach you? Where God always has open ears, right? You exactly. can always talk to God anytime. So did you find yourself doing that a lot?
No. I mean, it's like, it's one of them things, like, it's like, hey, if there's anybody listening, like, could you please pay attention? You know? Uh-huh. But also, like, okay, I mean, this is going to get a little deep, but like, I think about how many people have horrible, horrible lives? You know what I'm saying? Is God watching those people? You know? And if God is, why is God not doing anything for them? You know?
Yeah, like, that's the whole ultimate question, you know, all these poor people and, you know, why he's helping them? Why are these people dying over here?
Exactly.
I mean, that is a question that people always ask.
Yeah. And everyone loves to say, like, you know, God works in mysterious ways, but go to your job on Monday and start working in mysterious ways and see how quickly you get fired. but whatever, God has a plan.
There's your next song.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so my relationship with God is like, if there is a God, then great. And I can't wait to meet him and ask him so many questions. And if not, it makes sense. And that sucks. But
well, Maker is a beautiful song.
Thanks. I did want to, you know, because at the end of the day, like I think that there could be a God. And also it's one of them things where I hope that I just want— Maker is a Band-Aid after you hear all that horrible stuff I said in the last song. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it kind of wraps it all up together.
Yeah. A lot of
people
ask— That's
an emotional song too.
Yeah.
It's if you believe in God too.
Yeah.
It's very powerful.
Yeah, I mean, as someone who believes in God, it's emotional for me. But it's like, it's one of them things where I don't want people— a lot of people heard it and they were like, why didn't you end it at Shame? Like, why didn't you stop the album there? And I was like, whoa, what? Like,
that's pretty dark.
Yeah. I mean, and it's cool because I'm like a dark person, but I still have hope. Like, even myself, like, the reason, honestly, the reason that I'm still here is because even in my, like, darkest, like, literal darkest moments, I always think, hey, man, you do know that it's not always going to be like this. You know, like, even if it takes 10 years, in 10 years, I'm not going to be like this. So, like, because of that, I have hope. So, yeah, that's why I couldn't end the album on such a dark, dark place. But we'll see what the future holds. God, I hope you're listening.
Live in the vault, I hide in the dark. I'm trying to get out, I'm picking the lock. My innocence lost wasn't worth the cost. When I was a kid, wanted to be grown, shouldn't have gotten involved. Now I'm feeling off, wanna run away, but it's getting late, I let in the dogs. Don't wanna die in the matrix, don't know how far I can take this, but I'm a star in the making. I want my name on your bracelet, I want my hit on your playlist. I'm gonna try for your favorite, I'm gonna cry when I make it. And even though I got questions, I hope that God is my maker.
My maker, my maker.
I hope that God is my maker.
My maker.
Yeah. Lately I've been stressed out, I got family problems, I got lady problems. I know it ain't that obvious, cause when I'm out in public I act like it's cool. But the shit is getting old and I just hope for something new. I hope that I learn forgiveness, I hope that God has my witness. I can be a better man for all the people that I mention. Late at night when I cry and I reach out for that knife, put my hand back to my side, I choose life, I choose life. And I hope the same for you, for anybody going through it. Know that you are not alone, feel my presence through this music.
Music gone.
Yeah. feel my presence through this music. I live in the vault, I hide in the dark. I'm trying to get out, I'm picking the lock. My innocence lost, wasn't worth the cost. When I was a kid, wanted to be grown, shouldn't have gotten involved. Now I'm feeling off, want to run away, but it's getting late, I'll let in the dogs.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. You are not alone. You are not alone. No, no. You are not alone. No. Just put your hand.
Day on the west coast, I'm making the French toast, unlimited bread, yeah that's Olive Garden. She want a piece of this meatloaf, I'm not gonna beat slow. They heard it two doors down, that's Dolly Parton. Anyways, this a blessed day. I came up from that young boy in second grade who got pushed into lockers, not cause I was the smallest, but because I lived in a town that hated niggas. I was the oldest of three, so they came in after me, and it got better for them, but I took my share of beatings. I always wanted out of that town. My parents had the nerve to wonder why I was acting out. Well, now you know. And it was so hard to cope, so just to make myself happy, I would start telling jokes. Cause when you smile, it make the pain go for a while, but every night I realized that I would still feel alone, so I would fold my hands in prayer. Hey God, do you even care? Grew up in a fucking church, never felt like you were there. When all that I know is hurt, am I not someone that you care for? Feel I'm in a cage and all I know is being scared. I know that I'm talking angry, if you real, hope you forgave me. If you real, I hope you come and burn this motherfucker down. I can't wait till I grow up to be that motherfucker now. I thought that I knew the world, but I'm a motherfucking clown. I live in the vault, I hide in the dark. I'm trying to get out, I'm picking the lock. My innocence lost, wasn't worth the cost. When I was a kid, wanted to be grown, shouldn't have gotten involved. Now I'm feeling off, wanna run away, but it's getting late, I let in the dogs.
You are not alone, you are not alone. No,
you are not alone. You are not alone. I just like.
People like really also really religious, and they're like the happiest people. Well, you know, it's like God, I mean, you grew up in it, so I'm sure you met that type of person. Like, just believe and everything will be all right. And
no, and I'm so jealous of those people. Literally, I mean, it must feel so good to be like, I don't have to do anything in life because someone's always watching over me and they have a plan for me. That must be such a great feeling. Unfortunately, I don't have that same feeling. So life is worse for me because I think that I'm more in control than someone else. But that's also a very empowering feeling because it's like I'm in control, you know. I don't know. I just feel like there are very passive people who think that like miracles are just going to happen. And I'm jealous of those people, but I don't have the same mindset, you know. So I can't think like that just because it's like the more you know, like you can't not know things. So
of course.
The more questions you ask and more you find out, the more questions you have, you know, the more answers you get, the more questions you have. So I don't know. We'll see. But I mean, look, life is long, and we'll figure it out as we go. You know, maybe something happens tomorrow that, you know, makes me think something else.
Yeah. You might become a Buddhist.
Maybe. I might be the new Brother David at the Catholic, at the Catholic high school. You know what I'm saying?
But Brother David, he was Catholic, but I never heard of a Catholic monk, but I guess.
Really?
I'm not really a specialist in monks either.
Came from a monastery. Is that monks or is that brothers? I mean, we called him Brother David. I don't know all the logistics. I just know he was a monk and we called him Brother David.
Catholic monk.
Hey, it is what it is, you know.
So what was for We're All Healing, what would you say was the most like pleasurable song to work on? And not like so emotional. I mean, even the whole album is emotional.
Jungle Talk was the best because whenever I was making it, I was in my like I don't care mode. I don't care what this
you're
sounds
screaming
like.
In that one too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I was like, I don't care what I say. I don't care what I sound like, what this sounds like. I just go off. I was listening to a lot of Yeezus, Kanye West, and that like inspired me.
Is that the one where you like say like, come on your, if you should have came on your face?
Yes.
And like say, that line, I remember that line.
Your mom should have had a miscarriage.
Yeah, that was
your
a good line.
Dad should have came on a face. Yeah, all that stuff. So, and like, that's me. I mean, that's like literally whenever I get in my like, you know, like whenever like you see red and like you just can't be like controlled or whatever. Like that song was my, I'm just going off and I'm saying what the fuck I want to say and do something about it, you know? And yeah. And so that was the best for me because that was the most, I literally didn't care whenever I was making that song, you know, like I cared and I thought that song was amazing, but I didn't care what I was saying. I was just making sure that it was true to what I felt, you know? And it's like, I feel this way, do something, you know? Yeah. And another thing is whenever people hear that second verse and I'm saying all those awful things, I'm talking to myself, you know, because the next line after all that is like, tell myself this in the mirror. I have to every day to dampen my spirit. And so it's just me talking down on myself. But yeah, but those are just some of the crazy things that go on mm-hmm. in my head that I have to like drown out, you know, sometimes.
Shall we pay Jungle Talk?
Let's do it.
All right, let's play.
I will battle anyone, fuck a mismatch. Put the grill to your face like I'm Riff Raff. Put a mill in the case and I go stash. And I always come quick cause my bitch bad. With all disrespect, I'm upside your neck. Hit him with the left, damn I made a mess. Let me find a mop, write my name in stone. Lest you all forgot I'm King Arthur in this motherfucker. I am a god. Forget it. More innovative, I'm the one who coming with it. Who done demonstrated they get sicker with the illest? You say you the GOAT, but it's bullshit you mimic. Who the man around here? Can you tell me who the kid is? Oh, it's you? Nigga, are you kidding?
Are you kidding?
I thought this would be a challenge. Smoking and drinking kombucha for hours. Reciting lines while I'm taking a shower. Make my way out and my girl watching Power? Turn that shit off. Garbage ass show. Running through streets, I'm lit. 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 Look, I don't get embarrassed. Your mom should have had a miscarriage. Your dad should have came on her face. But instead she at you, what a waste. Tell myself this in the mirror. I have to every day to dampen my spirit. My ego is crazy, I must keep it hidden. If no one check me, then I become the villain.
If no one check me, then I become the Joker. Smile on my face, but I'll cry when it's over. Smoking, I'm shrinking, it hit like an ogre. The cloud is around me, as skunk as the odor. If you won't battle, you're about to be broken. Easily hated, they must think I'm chauvinistic. It's true, cause I know that I'm chosen. But fuck what you say, cause I'm changing the culture, bitches.
Streets I'm lit. Running through 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 streets I'm lit.
That was Jungle Talk. Hope y'all enjoyed it.
why are you saying all those mean things?
Yeah. Okay. So I want everyone to know I will be performing this album live on April 16th at the Sassafras Saloon at 10 p.m. It's on Vine Street in Los Angeles. And it's going to be a free show. Just come in, have a drink, and come vibe. Yeah, and if you haven't already, listen to the album. It's everywhere. We're All Healing by Christopher Leon.
Yeah, go check it out. It's a great album.
Well, thank you.
How So what's next? What's in store? You're obviously you're making music. Mm-hmm. I mean, continual thing.
Yeah. Actually music, I've been in a drought for months, to be honest, just because.
Was it the album?
Yeah.
I'm drained. Were you just working particularly to have songs on this album, or did you have songs that didn't make the album?
So I had a song that didn't make the album, but it's going to make the next one. And it's the same type of thing. It was one of those things where it was like, there was enough. I told the story clearly enough, you know, for this one. I really wanted everything to be synchronized and just mesh well. And I felt like that one stuck out a little too much. But I do have an idea for what my next album is going to be. And so that one will be on that, that album. But in the meantime, I've just been trying to figure out how to write again, because number one, I feel like I said everything. And number two, like the process was just so draining that it's intimidating to be honest, because I'm like so proud of this album and I know what it took to make it, that for like to make another album and try to make it be as good or better, you know, it's intimidating. Yeah, it's really intimidating. So I'm just kind of like, having a self-confidence fight with it. But also whenever I try to write, I'm in like a writer's block. So I've been trying to work with, as many other artists as possible just to get like other stuff flowing, because I'm such in my feelings bag that I'm trying to like get out of it a little bit so I can like get back to the fun music, you know, because,
I was telling you off the air that the songs you released during, 2021, mm-hmm. a lot of fun, like summer vibe, non-depressing.
Exactly. And if you'll notice, most of those were collaborations.
Yeah, collaborations.
Those, you know,
as well.
And so that's why I need, that's why I got to work with other people just so I can get out of my own head.
I liked it because I'm a 90s baby and it just gave me that 90s vibe. And I love the hip hop in the 90s. It was like fun, you know, dance, club.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. So, I mean, yeah, and it's radio playable too, you know?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But what I've been noticing more and more is like the, of course, like radio friendly songs is not what I made.
No, no. I mean, you don't have to either. I mean, it's just saying that those would be catered.
No,
definitely can cater for that.
Because one thing that I love about this tour, but one thing that I don't like is that I'm so in my feelings that like the crowd is really feeling it, you know, like I can like feel the emotion in the room, you know, and like we're all having a moment and I really love that. But that is also the bad thing is that like, it's always sad. Like we're always, you know, it's like, it's always a bummer, you know, and I don't want it to always be a bummer because, because I don't want to be sad all the time. But it's like, whenever I do perform this, I'm
in the exact crying?
Same. Yeah. I'm crying, you know, like
crying,
yeah. It's very, the performance is just as emotional as the album. And so it's, I've been trying to get myself out of that. And so I am trying to make like some happier music just so that I can throw on shows where we're not all wiping our faces at the end of it, you know?
But in the end of it, you don't also want to make a happy song if you're not happy. And then we're recycling what we were, doing before.
Yeah.
You got to write what you feel, right? You make what you're feeling at the moment, and if, you know,
yeah.
You meet somebody, maybe, you know, usually a muse, inspires that in some direction.
I'm excited to fall in love again,
and then break up.
Maybe once that happens, everything will turn around a little bit. But no, for now, it's just like a slow and steady journey to get back, like for my brain to get back on its feet. But like we're totally getting there, and I'm hoping that the next album is so much happier than this one. You know,
you like making albums then, like
I love it. I love
versus like an
like a
four,
single or
four
EP
track EP,
or
six track
sure.
EP.
I'm all about concepts. I love concept albums. Because the
telling internet, a story.
Yeah, yeah. Because the internet, Childish Gambino is like one of my favorite albums of all time. And I just love the. I want you to press play and then don't touch anything for 30, 40 minutes. You know, like just look like I got this. You know, and you know, I tried to make that with the last one, and that's what I want all my albums to be. Just synchronized and. I don't want people to touch the dial. Just let me, like, I got this. I got you. Mm. You know, I'm going to tell you a story. That's my favorite thing. That's my favorite.
And from your first album, it's quite different, obviously. Like, even though the production value, the how you produce the, or do you produce all, you said you produce, so you produce all your music.
Yep.
That's great. So even from his perspective, was completely like different. It was a different style.
Yeah, that was also about my ex, but we were together at the time. It's very interesting that you say that. I think
because you had like almost like trap beats in there.
Mm-hmm, I did
in some of the songs.
I'm trying to think of what I was so inspired by at the time, but honestly, I had just gotten a new producing like software, and so I just had all these new sounds, you know. So I was like experimenting with the new sounds.
That's great too. Yeah. When you're like new, you're like more explorative, imaginative, and like versus when you're like been doing it for a while, like I'm just gonna go straight to what I like using.
Exactly.
Same snare.
Using the same template type thing. Yeah. And then for this album, I started using a new program. So maybe I'll just buy a whole new program for the next one, you know, and just keep going. But I do love that my sound is switching, even though I didn't even realize it until you just said that. But I just like to whatever sounds good, you know. Yeah. It's really I don't go for a sound, but whatever sounds good.
You had a cool one of the songs that sticks out with me in that album is What the Fuck Is Up With You.
Yes,
you use it. What is that sample?
Justin Bieber used the same sample. I forgot the song, but it's
the Justin Bieber did use it in the song as well.
It's
a good sample.
it is. It is. We both got that from Splice. So shout out to Splice.
It's great. Great collaborative website.
Hell yeah. I was actually upset because I dropped my song with that sample and then he dropped it and I was like, oh, he's famous. Everyone heard that one. And then everyone's going to think I copied off of him. But it's, no, it's dope.
Well, that's what I like about artists, especially artists I really like. Each album is almost, they evolve. Like, not every artist, obviously, because some just always stick to, you know what they're going to make. Mm-hmm. But the ones that are like more creative, you see how they evolve, and every album is a different story, a different sound or how it's produced.
For sure.
I find that very more like addictive to listen to. And, you know, versus like, you hear an album and you're like, no, it sounds like exactly like the last album. Mm-hmm. I mean, some people like that, but it's great that you did that because someone could, you know, you're going to get different people from, you know, his perspective versus we're all healing.
Absolutely.
You know, different audiences and whatnot.
Yeah.
So
I agree. And thanks. Yeah. I don't try to make things sound the same. But my concepts are usually about something very specific, you know, like, his perspective was all about my relationship. And then this one was just all about just me in my head, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I hope the next one is me saying, hey, I found God and everything is good, you know? And so, but right now I'm just, I'm very excited to work with other artists. Mm-hmm. I'm very excited to work with other artists.
And you're in LA. So
many
artists to work with.
Hell yeah. So anyone listening, Christopher Leon Music on all your social medias, hit me up and say you want to work on something because I need it. I'm very excited for the future. I'm having a blast doing these shows, even though they're really emotional. And
Are you reaching out to these venues or are people hitting you up?
Yeah, no, I'm doing it all.
You're hustling.
Myself, you know, yeah, hitting them up. I'm going back to, on May 7th, I'm doing a show in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, which is where I went to college right outside of my hometown. And I'm really excited for that one because a lot of the kids from my childhood are going to be there, you know?
Well, and you got to hit the college campuses.
Yeah. So, I'm super excited for the future.
You did one in Texas?
I did. I was there in February. Arlington, Texas. And
you've been getting great feedback then, like from the audience.
I mean, it's hard.
You talk with the audience after a little bit, or you hang out?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do. I do for sure. Everyone needs a hug after
you need a hug.
Yeah, seriously. it's cool because something I didn't realize would happen is, since I'm being so honest and open, that a lot of people are doing that to me.
They're opening up to you.
I get DMs and messages and voice memos of people crying, talking about what they're going through, and they just listened to this and then they felt comfortable like telling me this. So now I feel like I'm the therapist for other people, which is something
that's amazing.
I did not know was going to happen, you know, but
music is so powerful in that regard.
I'm very happy that people are like comfortable to talk about that kind of stuff with me.
Because you're not the only one. You had this situation, but there's a lot of other people going through the same exact thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But it is intimidating because I don't have all the answers. All I did was talk about my stuff. I didn't say I had it all figured out, you know? So all I can do
give
is
give him Joyce's number.
Yeah, exactly. it's a cool and interesting role that I've kind of just passively just kind of obtained. And I really love having moments with people. So performing this album and then talking to them afterwards, everyone always has something to say. And it's just nice to hear other people's stories. And it also helps me, because I'm like, I really am not alone, because I'm not the only one who's, you know, was going through this kind of stuff. And I just hope that I hope I can keep making the type of music that keeps people so comfortable to, you know, to believe me and talk to me and, you know, to also know that they have someone who's like telling the story of all of us, you know? So I really love it and I'm very excited.
Would there be any advice you would give to anyone?
Yes.
Going through the same thing that you went through?
Communicate. Everyone says communication is key, but like literally communication is key. You just have to learn how to communicate in a healthy way. That's not shouting all the time whenever you're fed up. Talk about the little things before the little things become big things, you know? And also realize that everyone isn't going to be able to hear you and love you the way that you want to be heard and loved. And so work on you could try to teach them how to do it, but also don't get so stuck on trying to teach someone how to do it that you like lose yourself in the teaching. Sometimes you really do have to step back and be like, okay, we just aren't the same. We don't have the same love language. You're not learning mine. I'm not learning yours. This isn't going to work. And that goes for loved ones and friends and family. A lot of people are like stuck in shitty family relationships literally because you're family. And you know that if you weren't family, you would have nothing to do with someone. But like for some reason, that's the thing that like always holds you together. And that's beautiful. Like that is the beautiful thing about family. But sometimes that can hold you back, especially if you like let all that stuff fester and get into your everyday life. Protect your peace and communicate and tell everyone what is on your mind. And if they can't handle it, then understand that maybe that relationship just isn't for you. And that's it for now. Thanks for the TED Talk.
Well, I mean, you want to end it there?
My name is Christopher Leon. I want to thank you so much for having me, Z.
How can we find you?
Christopher Leon Music on everything. I'm usually on Instagram. You can find me on TikTok. Christopher Leon on all your streaming platforms. The album is called We're All Healing. Come through on Saturday the 16th at the Sassafras Saloon at 10 p.m. on Vine Street in L.A.
Bow. All right. Thank you, Christopher Leon.
Thank you, dude.
All right.
Yeah. I just want to get right. I just want to play nice. I don't want no more fights. Can we put that on ice? Can we put it on life? That we gon' try to get right. I don't want no more advice from any of your friends from a past life. I don't want no more sad nights when I try to talk and you gaslight. Yeah, we stay mad about the same things, but I'm the only one trying to make change. If improvement was currency, then I'm the only one trying to make bank. Maybe that's why I've been feeling broke, getting more anxiety but losing hope. Maybe that's why I've been feeling low. Said maybe that's why I've been feeling low. I don't want a life like that, and I don't want to live like this. So if you want to hold me back, maybe we should call it quits. Maybe we should let this in, 'cause I can't keep holding on, no. My heart is at its peak, and so I think I'ma die slow. I just wanna heal myself, but you don't wanna be my help. Don't wanna end up like Cobain, so I gotta wish you well. Hey, I just wanna heal myself, but you don't wanna be my help. Out looking for reactions, no backing down, yeah, I'm for that action. I thought having you in my life would bring a balance. Now I'm having second thoughts. Every time I try to speak, I come at a loss. I got thoughts in my head that I can't share. I got things I should say, but I'm too scared. Don't wanna break things that I can't repair. Bridges, I'm burning all bridges. I'm on a mission. I wanna be at peace with my ambition. I wanna make clear what your intention is. 'Cause I've been hurt too much and I've tried too hard. Trying to hold on, but my heart too scarred. And my mind turned black, have I gone too far? Can it all go back to how it was before? Yeah, I thought you were all I ever wanted. We were pure and could never be tarnished. I thought till death do us part. Now I only feel death in my heart. And I don't want a life like that, and I don't wanna live like this. So if you wanna hold me back, maybe we should call it quits. Maybe we should let this in, 'cause I can't keep holding on, no. My heart is at its peak, and so I think I'ma die slow. I just wanna heal myself, but you don't wanna be my help. Don't wanna end up like Bourdain, so I gotta wish you well. Hey, I just wanna heal myself, but you don't wanna be my help.
Welcome back, y'all, to Tasty Tuesday's Talk. This song right here was called Hurt, and it was by my previous guest, Christopher Leon. A huge thank you to Christopher Leon for sitting down with me and discussing his latest album, We're All Healing. Go check it out. Find him on all streaming platforms at Christopher Leon, or follow him on all social media platforms at Christopher Leon Music. And if you're in Los Angeles, he'll be at the Sassafras Saloon April 16th. Go check him out, y'all. Go support him. And go listen to this album, because we are all healing. Thank you, Christopher.
You're listening to Tastemakers
with Zebra and Jeebs.